Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to episode 196 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild and wild adjacent formats of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, Hydralisk. It's great to be back on this actually beautiful, gorgeous, sunny Friday night here in Sheep Route Cool Canada. It actually is pretty warm. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty warm, sheep. So I can't complain. We're even going to go hiking tomorrow. It's going to be sweet. Anyway, how you doing tonight, sheep?
Meowdy friends. I'm Electric Sheep City coming at you from cool Colorado. It like started off being like a little cool, but it typically is in the morning and they got like warm. And then it started raining and it brought the cool back. And that's why I'm wearing my jacket for all you video enjoyers. So, yeah, it's back in cool Colorado around these parts. Yeah.
You can have our rain. That's OK. We had enough of the rain. We sent it down your way.
You know, we actually could use it just in general. So I'm not complaining about the rain part. So, for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. Friendly notice for those of you listening on Google Podcasts, that is going away very soon. So if you are listening to this on Google Podcasts right now, please subscribe to us on your second favorite podcast platform of choice, because that is unfortunately going away imminently. And I personally am quite torn up about it. So however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes.
You. Well, before we get into the main topic of the show, I'd like to say a quick thank you to our patrons, to Shokunin. All of the support from all of you means the absolute world to us. If you enjoy this content, please like, subscribe, comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platform of choice. So if you're watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. This is free if you use Amazon Prime. There are also emotes you can unlock just by following. We also have Born to be Wild merch. There's a link to this on our website. So if you want to check that out, we've got some nice models here with Shmoopy Mommy and Shmoopy Daddy up on the screen. If you like the looks of this stuff, head on over to the website and check it out. Finally, if you'd like to support the show financially, you can join our Patreon for just as little as $1 per month. We have a few channels in the Discord that are unlocked by subscribing to the Patreon, where you can see the show coming together each week. So that's something that we've added in the past month or two, where it's just, yeah, us coming up with ideas for what the podcast episode is going to be. We'll, you know, have some news, some other things that maybe you won't see elsewhere in the Discord, and get an idea of what we're going to be talking about and just be involved in the chat, give your input, that sort of thing. So if you'd like to interact with us personally, please join our Discord, a free, amazing online community of friends all across the world who love talking about wild Hearthstone. Links to all this stuff and more can be found on our website, which is borntobewildhs.com. So before we get into the news and the main topic of the show, let's talk about our weeks. So up in Hydraland, we took spring break off, and we do this each year, and I've probably described it in the past how we have this thing. It's a scavenger hunt that Mrs. Hydra put together for Mini Hydra, and it's all these games and all this stuff. And it was another successful year. She always makes a theme, and it was called What the Duck this year.
Rat.
And it was, yeah, exactly. It was a duck theme thing. I won't get too into it, but there was 10 mini games that we had to play. But before we started the mini game, my son had to go around the house and he had to find 10 ducks. After he found 10 ducks, there was over 100 hidden around the house. He's like, mini ducks. Whoa. And if he found, and if he found 10, then we could begin the first game. And my wife, she makes this big PowerPoint and she puts it up on the big screen in the living room. And she'll make like a presentation for each game and then gives the instructions on what to do. And then we do minute to win it style things. And then at the end, my son has to win and then he gets the prize, that sort of thing. So Yeah, it's just really fun. He always has a blast doing it. So he's getting older now. He's 15. Right. And so We said to him, do you really want to keep doing this? Right. Like, we've been doing this ever since you were little. And he said, yeah, I want to keep doing it. We're like, are you sure you're not too old for this? And he's not going to say, yeah, he's too old, because he always gets a bunch of stuff.
Right.
So, of course, he's going to say yes. Anyways, it went off without a hitch. And now he's more spoiled than he was last year. I ended up getting him a mic boom and a mic. So that it helps with his setup in his room and all that stuff for his computer.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other prizes. And then in the end, and yes, he is spoiled. He now has a mini fridge in his bedroom.
Oh, that's awesome.
which has like cheese strings and like yogurt and juice and stuff in it.
My little guy has one in his, but that's more convenience for us than for him, because he's upstairs and the fridge main is downstairs. So that's really a present for us rather than for him. Whereas Mini Hydras is definitely a prize for him.
Yeah, we stocked it with snacks that he might like. It's spoiling him, but while Mrs. Hydra and I were putting this together, we came to the conclusion that possibly this might be a selfish thing.
Ooh.
That for us, that he's growing older, right? And it's like, whoa, maybe if we, you know, make his room really awesome and put a mini fridge in there, he may not want to leave right away. You know what I mean? He's always talking about how he wants to move out as soon as he turns 18, and he wants to experience what it's like to live with your friends and do all that stuff, which is cool. I did that. But now I know how my parents felt.
Sad.
Right. It'll be a sad day. But anyway, it was a good time. And then back to work. And then this last week at work was absolutely insane. Our classic month end rush that we always do, and I am absolutely just glad it's over with, and then we can start over again on Monday or Tuesday. No, Monday. We have to work Monday, unfortunately. A lot of people don't, but I'm excited that is over with. So anyways, the new expansion dropped while like we were off, because we took last week off, and I played more Hearthstone in the last, the week that we were off, we did a bunch of stuff, but I just, anytime I wasn't doing family stuff, I was just queuing game after game after game. And I was getting extremely frustrated because I was having so much fun with all the new things. And I have this stinking disconnect issue that was happening over and over and over. It was getting to the point, it was every second game. And it used to only happen on my opponent's turn. Only ever on my opponent's turn.
Hacks.
And it started happening on my turn, where I would freak out that... So it basically, the minion, right before it attacks, it kind of gets big. You know, it gets big right before it attacks. it would freeze like that, but all animations, like the opponent can emote and you can see them hovering their cards and all that stuff, but my minion is frozen in the air. So it got to the point where it would just skip my turn if I didn't do anything about it. So I had to Alt F4, get back into the game, see if I can make it in time. I was playing the new aggro dragon priest, and I was in the middle of my combo, right? And I'm like, I'm gonna go take a second turn, and it freezes up, and I'm like, what is going on? And so I went into the deep depths of Reddit because I figured there has to be something that is causing this. And I found someone posted, it was 3 years ago, it was way down in the comments when someone was asking the same question as me on PC, what causes this to happen? And I don't know anyone else this happens to, but anyway, someone had commented, go to Windows settings, then go to privacy, turn location off. I was getting disconnects too, and this fixed it for me. I hope it works. And so I'm like, that doesn't sound like a real thing, but maybe
worth a shot. So I figured, like,
I've tried everything else yeah, at this point.
You have. Right?
So I'm like, okay, I do the thing. I turn location off. I also restarted my computer and just to make sure that the setting actually took, and went to play Hearthstone. And then I played for like 4 days straight. No issue, like whatsoever. And I didn't want to jinx it, right? So I didn't want to say anything and then have it happen. But I did. I posted in our Discord that, hey, like, I don't know if, like, what's going on, if this is a coincidence or not, but it was happening every second game. And then suddenly it's perfect. And then I played all the way till today, and it happened one more time an hour before the show.
Oh, no.
It happened once. But it was really strange. It happened. I was playing against the innkeeper, and mm-hmm. it happened. Hmm. And I don't know. Like, that seems like a strange thing. I wasn't versing somebody else. I was just playing against the innkeeper, and it happened. So that seemed strange. But I was just uploading the image into the show notes, like, right before. Like, yeah, I finally beat this thing. And then I was practicing some decks that we're going to talk about later, just because I hadn't played all of them, right? So I had thrown some into the client and was playing some of them just to get a feel. And, yep, froze. I'm like, no! No, 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 no! So I'm hoping that was like a one-off. We'll see going into the weekend. Maybe I'll be okay. I don't know. But
I was so hopeful you were done with it.
Yeah, I know. And I thought maybe it was just new patch related. Like, oh yeah, it's a new expansion, new patch. Maybe it just went away. No, that doesn't make any sense, because those first like few days from after it dropped, it was just constant how much it was happening. Mm-hmm. So it's not related to that. I don't know. I mean, we got the nerfs and then. Then it happened again. I don't know. It's very strange. It doesn't seem patch related anymore. It we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I was playing so much of that aggro dragon priest because it's basically just aggro like I like to play in general, with a cherry on top when you pull off the extra turn.
Yeah.
And yeah, just I know there's a few versions of it. Obviously, I am playing a pirate version because I like it. We could talk more about that later. But I, out of the gate, I went 17-4 with the deck.
Wow.
Like, yeah, like I couldn't believe it. I think it was 8-1 before I started losing. And I was like, I love this thing. Like, absolutely love it. It was before that I was playing some other stuff, but this was just a blast for me. So it's something that I'll continue to play. And I've been playing a couple other things, but like Garrote Rogue, I was jamming some of that. I got a list from Shroopy Daddy before the show to see like what maybe the main best list people were playing was. But anyway, I super cool. And another cool thing was Day 9 came back, which was neat. So I was watching some Day 9 streams. And he's so funny because he'll do like the cool thing instead of the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like he always, I just want to see what this does. Like there were times where he could win and he's like, praise Yogg, let's see what happens. Like, yeah, it's just so good. So I had a good time watching Day 9 stream again. And I'll just give a quick little update on my King Corner is what I call it, but it's other things. So I said I was reading Ernest Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises. I finished that. I also threw in a smaller book, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
That is a fun small one.
Yeah, it is. And I remember that movie had come out, I don't know, like almost 20 years ago at this point. And I really knew what it was about. I knew Brad Pitt was in it, but it was just a small book. And I decided I've never read it, so let's read it. It was fun. Nothing more to say really about it. It was a fun one. And then I'd started Eyes of the Dragon by Stephen King, I think before last show maybe, but I haven't been reading it much until recently. I read about 100 pages in the last couple, like night or two, and really, really into it. It's Sheep, you like The Dark Tower. Well, like the main bad guy is Randall Flagg in Eyes of the Dragon.
Wow.
So yeah. Yeah. So and that's not a spoiler. It's that from the very beginning. So it's super cool to have the man in black as the bad guy again. Right. So except nothing really. It's also a fantasy book. So that's pretty cool. And then I'm also listening to a book, and that's another Stephen King, which is Stephen King's The Dark Half. So I'm all over it. I got to beat my record this year. So
44.
We'll see. That's why, because I got one coming up, Needful Things, and Needful Things is it's supposed to be the last Castle Rock book. It wasn't, but it's one of those like big, like thick books, and I have to weave in some things like Benjamin Button if I'm gonna hit 44 books, right? I can't read all these big chonker books and make it to 44. It's just not gonna happen. But anyway, enough about me. Sheep, how has your week been?
Yeah, my week was pretty fantastic as well. So last week I had a birthday. I'm now 35 years young.
35.
Yeah, buddy.
Right on.
I'm still the youngest person on this podcast. Shmoopy Daddy's got me beat by a few months.
Yeah. Oh no. I just realized that if 35 is the youngest on the podcast, we are getting old. Hey?
Uh-huh. And thank you for the birthday wishes, Arimorn. Still doing the grad school thing. I was sharing with Hydra and Shmoopy. Gosh, was it yesterday? Earlier today? I don't know. What is time? How like typically I'm like, okay, you know, this is what I've got. This is what I've got. And I've just been more focused on the content of this one than I have on like the grades that I was like, wait, how am I doing? Cause like my first grade like was the worst grade that I've gotten in grad school, you know, like an 80 something. And I'm up above a 95 again, like 96 point something.
Hey, you know, if you were just focusing on like the content and actually into the content.
Yeah.
That sort of shows something, right? You're like, I'm just darn right interested in this. Uh-huh. And then you got a 95. Well, it shows you were interested in it. It's cool.
Case in point, right? Yeah. So, had in addition to the birthday last week, had another critical thinking assignment. I called it that instead of a paper because it was a presentation. So yeah, I got to do that thing last week. But in Hearthstone, I've been playing more standard than wild, which is normal for me at a new expansion. You know, I'm still playing wild throughout as well, but standard tends to be my primary focus, especially in a right after an expansion, especially in a core set rotation that beginning of a new standard year because standard loses a ton. So it's super different from the way it was. And this new expansion cycle, I've been playing even more standard than usual because this is kind of like my kind of a standard meta. Like, I absolutely love it. So earlier this past week, at one point I hit rank 500 in standard.
Wow.
I've since, you know, gone down a little bit. I'm still only triple digits, still sub 1K, but yeah, I've been jamming a lot of those standard games. It's been a lot of fun, and I could have just started camping at 500, but like I kept on playing because I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Like I just wanted to keep playing. Like at one point I dropped down to like 3000, was like, I don't care. I'm just playing cause I want to. And then I got back into top 1K and was like, oh, that feels pretty cool too. I'm going to keep playing cause I want to play. but I've also been playing a lot of Wild as well. Gonna just go over the very brief overview there, cause we're going to dive into some. Actually, I think all the decks that I've been playing are featured on what we're talking later. I've been playing Dragro, Dragon Aggro Priest, Divine Dragon Priest, which are both very good. I think that I like the aggro version better, just for my personal play style. I call it Divine because it runs the Divine Spirit Inner Fire package on top of the Zarimi, so it's kind of a little bit more mid-range. It has things like the 4-mana 3/3 dragon that if you're holding a dragon deals like 3 damage to the board, and different things like that to combat against aggro. Dustbreaker, that's the one. To combat against the aggro, which is kind of out a little bit more in full force lately, which love to see that too. So it runs all of these kind of like mid-range and survival tools, which also happen to be minions and dragons in particular. And then it can just, you know, Zarimi, Divine Spirit, Inner Fire on top of whatever board you happen to have stuck from before, which you probably have because, again, it's a more mid-range deck kind of up until that point. That's also pretty fun. But Dragon Aggro Priest is kind of my jam of the two. And then the good old Uther OTK Paladin with Sing-Along Buddy is back. And I've been having a lot of fun with that, too. So those are the three that I think I've been playing the most. I guess I've also been playing some Garrote Rogue, too. And Pirate Rogue. So the Garrote Rogue that's out now is kind of a little bit more pirate-centric than the Garrote Rogue of old. So that's a lot of fun too. So that's kind of what things have been going down in this here city of electric sheep. But I think we got a bit of news that's happened in the past couple weeks, haven't we, Hydra?
I think so.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
Yeah, we've got a new expansion, right?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, so Whizbang's Workshop has landed. It came out last Tuesday, March the 19th. And we've kind of already had a balance patch, which is sort of crazy. Like, that was pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. The balance patch, I personally think it was a little too quick, especially for how many things were nerfed and how hard some of the things were nerfed, in particular deputization aura. But I'm sure that they have stats to back it up to inform that, but golly, dep aura, like I was trying to play some Holy Wrath Paladin. It's just not the same with dep aura only giving +1 attack.
Yeah, we'll get into some of those exact numbers coming up, but yeah, that's a rough one. That was when I saw it, part of me was all of me actually was very excited. But because I hate that car. All right, so we had the the happy red and green circle day. A lot of happened like so fast, but we can get into what actually happened. So basically, we'll start off here with some Paladin. So Tigress Plushie was hit. So it's the same card. It just costs more money, right? Mm-hmm. This was a powerful one, like right out of the gate. How do you feel about this? Because I'm sure this was a card you were playing with.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically just like a 3-mana Ziliax, right? Like, mm-hmm. It was fantastic, and I think it's probably still good. But it messes with the curve of the Paladin deck quite a bit as well. So I don't mind the Tigress Plushie nerf so much because it was a super strong card. This just keeps it a little bit more kind of in line with expectations. And now we can run it in even Paladin, eh?
True enough, I suppose. Yeah. It's annoying. It is super annoying to play against, especially as somebody who likes to play more aggressive decks. When this comes down, you're like, oh, great. So any chip damage I've already got in is gone because I have to run into this thing and kill it. Mm-hmm. And it's got Divine Shield, but it already has Rush when it comes down on the board right at the very beginning. So it's got its Divine Shield. It can take out a choice target. And yeah, it's rough. It's rough. So sorry for all the Paladin enjoyers. You know what? If you're buffing it or something and you're playing this later, I'm sure it'll still be good. You could, right? Just have a big one come up down on the board, even if you don't get to play it early. So it'll still be annoying. But so the one that Sheep already was referring to is Deputization Aura. Oh, gosh. So it used to read your leftmost minion has +3 attack and lifesteal lasts 3 turns. Sadly, for the Paladin enjoyers, it now reads your leftmost minion has +1 attack and lifesteal lasts 3 turns. And oh my gosh, thank goodness. I'm sorry, Sheep, for saying this, but like the funny thing about this is you needed to make sure you were trading correctly if you were trading, right? And if you mm-hmm. make the mistake and you're like, oh, that's a big minion, I'm going to kill that. And then the stats move to the next one. And you're like, oh, I'm stupid. But the thing is, if it was taunted and had lifesteal, then yeah, it was disgusting. And now it is much, much, much less disgusting.
Uh-huh.
What are your full thoughts on this?
Yeah, so to me, Deputization Aura, whenever Shmoopy Daddy and I hit, I hit Legend with the hand buff deck. He just, refined it and shared it with me and then took it to D5 before pivoting. But we both played it at ad nauseum, right? Deputization mm-hmm. Aura is basically what that deck was built around. So we'd run Knight of Anointment to tutor out Deputization Aura. It was the only holy card so that we could, Knight of Anointment, hopefully, or Christology on one into Knight of Anointment, into Dep Aura, into Samuro, clear the board, Reno, especially against Even Shaman. That was just like sometimes GG right there, right? But more than that, honestly, what it did best was this was a hand buff deck, right? What were we doing? Buffing Chargers. Where were the Chargers going? To the left so that they also had +3 attack and those Chargers were going face. So I was kind of thinking that the lifesteal would be what was hit because hand buff Paladin and Standard, the big deal for that was really that not just that they were trading up more efficiently because that's what they were doing with their weapon anyway, But the big deal was that they had this life steal. So if you were, you know, aggroing them down, then it didn't matter. They were healing it up while building their board, while, you know, trading into your minions super effectively. So I thought that the life steal was going to come off of it, which was still going to be a big hit. But taking two attack off of it, I think may have just killed the card. I think it just completely decimated it. I don't think that we're that hand buff deck is now just like completely dead. Like it's gone.
And this is expensive for just the one attack.
At
three, they didn't even drop it to two mana or anything like that. They just, it's bad.
It's real bad.
Has nice art though.
You know what we say about when the art is nice. So when we start talking about the art, we start talking about the next card. So the next nerf is to Shroomscavate, which was, of course, a three mana. Give a minion Wind Fury and Divine Shield, excavate a treasure. Well, they dropped it to two mana. I thought this was a nerf, not a buff. Give a minion Divine Shield, excavate a treasure. They removed Wind Fury from Shroomscavate. And now the only time that anyone is going to play this is if they're playing an excavate deck. And, you know, I think that's probably healthy. What do you think about this nerf, Hydra?
Wind Fury in general is a very scary thing to have in the game, and you were giving two classes this ability. The card is cheap, right? I mean, well, it was three mana, right? But so for what it was doing, the Divine Shield, excavating a treasure, Wind Fury, and if a lot of time it was just really being used for that Wind Fury and Divine Shield, right? So now it maybe can be meant to do what it was supposed to do in all craziness, if you like think about it, like that's crazy, like everything that it was doing for its cost. So
yeah,
cool. It can go into an excavate deck, and every single time I get a quest that says play this many excavate cards, I will put it in my excavate deck. I will play it, and then I won't play it again until I get that quest again.
This is the way.
Yeah, basically. All right, so next up, Awakening Tremors. Now, oh my gosh, so this card was broken in the beginning, in my humble opinion. So the Hunter card that costs one, the spell, get 3/4/1 worms into your hand. Already an insane card. Obviously, you're not doing anything on one if you're playing this, but you can get next turn, you can drop 2/4 ones and all sorts of shenanigans, buffing things, all sorts. Like, this was pretty well in standard for the most part. It was a crazy outlier. Hunter came out of the gates pretty quick with this expansion. I was playing Hunter in standard, like right out of the gates, and I was winning games, and this was in my deck.
Yeah, you were.
So what do you think about this nerf sheet?
Yeah, I think this is a great nerf. Like, one mana 4/1s were just fantastic. One mana 3 worms, 3/1 worms, I think are still going to be solid. Like, I think this card is still going to be played. It's just going to be slightly lower power. And I think that's a sign of a good nerf. Right. So I think it's a good nerf. Just tune the power down a little bit. Still strong card. Just tune down a little bit. So solid nerf. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing really to complain about, in all honesty.
Well, also receiving that nerf hammer was Thrall's Gift. Thrall's Gift used to read, discover a temporary lightning bolt, hex or bloodlust. Now it reads, discover a temporary lightning storm, hex or bloodlust. So change out the lightning bolt, include the lightning storm instead. In standard, this was basically used by nature shaman to just like have even more burn, even more consistently, because they'd like flash of nature before they'd do their pop off turn, which means that all of their nature spells cost one less, which means that they were paying one mana for a lightning storm, or sorry, a lightning bolt, to discover from Thrall's Gift, and zero from the ones that they just hard ran in their deck. That means that they were basically running four lightning bolts. And just taking that out of the equation makes a lot of sense. And what this is really, really good for is, you know, Lightning Storms is still a really strong card.
Yeah.
Right? So I think this is really like a buff for things like Reno Shaman.
Yes, totally.
We can run an extra one of those in our Shudderwalk Reno Shaman. We now have two Lightning Storms. Awesome. And Standard can run two copies of Lightning Storms, or, hey, a Hex. We got a Hex whenever we need it, too. Like, if they didn't go wide, they went tall. We've got the Hex to pull out of our back pocket as well. So I think this was a great nerf to keep Nature Shaman from just spiraling out of control, while also still making it relevant for all of the classes, all of the archetypes where Thrall's Gift was not an issue. Honestly, they call it a nerf. I don't know that this is a nerf. It's as much as just like a slight rework. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, it's a total just lateral move. I feel like when I saw it, I was actually annoyed. When I saw it, I was like, yeah. Well, you made it better.
Like
against me. I'm like, why would you do that? Yeah, that was my initial thought, because I understand it's a standard nerf, and it's to prevent the burst. That's all it is. But
yeah.
To me, it made it more annoying, just to me. So I was like, yeah, I like the card. I think it's still a good card, and I think people are still going to play it. It's just its utility at this point, instead of just burn. In that deck, Nature Shaman, there are other shenanigans that you can do. And so there's this card called Aftershocks. And so this was a 4-mana deal 1 damage to all minions 3 times, cost 2 less for if you cast a spell last turn. It now costs 1 more. It costs 5 mana. So just making this, you know, a little harder to do. I don't think it'll cost 3 mana instead. 3 mana, deal 1 damage to all minions 3 times. Still pretty good, just slower. What do you think?
Yeah, still absolutely a great card. And this, and combined with the next nerf that we're going to talk about, has kind of revitalized a lot of interest in Odd Warrior. I was trying that out myself against a Miracle Rogue. They did their big pop off, you know, all this stuff. I was disrupting them along the way. So this was turn 6. I played a spell the turn before. So going into my 6-mana turn, they had 4 or 5 8/8s. They had a 14-14 Edwin, and they had like a Mailbox Dancer. So with my 6-mana, I played Barov and Aftershocks, and they no longer had a board. They elected not to like play any more of that game. They had no hand, right? Like that's what Miracle Rogue does. All to say, Aftershocks is now playable in Odd Warrior, and I'm very happy about that thing. In conjunction with our next card, which is what made me interested in playing Odd Warrior, I never actually got a chance to play Odin Prime Designate. Used to be an 8-mana card and is now 9-mana. Odin, of course, being the 8/8 with a battle cry for the rest of the game. After your hero gains armor, they gain that much attack for that turn. Whenever it was 8, you could play Odin and Hero Power. You could play Odin and Shield Block. Play Odin and a lot of different things that actually gained you a lot of armor, which also gained you a decent chunk of attack. to either clear up the board because you just, you know, played an 8-8 with that super powerful effect, but not having any effect on the board. Or if you were against an empty board, start swinging face to like close out the game. And moving to 9 mana, I think, is a good way to slow that deck down a bit. A deck that's already really slow, but this keeps it from, especially on that turn, like I said, being able to clear away a chunk of the board with just the hero power or shield block is really impactful. What do you think about the Odin nerf, Hydra?
Initially, because I was always pretty bummed that the card was slow in general, and so it, often having it in your hand, waiting till you can get to turn 8 to play it, and they made it 9 mana, and I was like, oh man, like, I already hate slow games, and so to me, I was just bummed out about it, but as soon as I was thinking that, Shmoopy Daddy's typing in Discord, he's like, Odd Warrior, let's go! Because he was playing a lot of Odin before, right? So he's definitely glass half full on this one. Either that or he was joking. I'm not sure which one. But
I think he was joking.
Well, there you go. But yeah, it's still a good card. It's going into a slow deck. I personally don't... Sometimes I like playing those slower control decks, but only if I know, I guess, my sort of pocket meta that I'm in, and I am versing a lot of aggro, all that stuff. I have no desire to spend like half an hour or whatever versing somebody else doing the exact same thing. One thing I did notice, though, is a lot of other people hate that too. And so they'll concede if you just are determined to keep playing. I've had people just concede early on in the game because they don't want to put up with it. So I don't know. If I'm watching Netflix, maybe I'll play Odin in an Odd Warrior. Other than that, I'm probably not going to play the card again.
In Standard, it was really funny, the Odin Warrior mirror matches, because once you get Odin online and you just cycle super quick. And so it's just kind of like a back and forth of, okay, I gain 19-20 armor and boop you in the face. And then, okay, now it's your turn. And you gain 16-20 armor and boop me right back in the face. And so it was just an odd, like, back and forth and back and forth. And since the nerf fight, you know, yesterday, I haven't seen that deck once.
Oh, there you go. Well, we'll see how much Odd Warrior, if there's any bots, maybe they'll be playing it. If I'm sure there'll be more bots. All right. So next up, we have Ticking Module. So this is actually a Ziliax Deluxe 3000 nerf, but it's specifically to the non-collectible card Ticking Module, which costs one less for each minion in play. And so that is it used to be 4 mana for the effect. It is now 5 mana. So still good, I think. We still doing it. I was doing it today. So... no real complaints. What do you think?
Yeah, I think where this will probably be the most impactful is we can decide to slot this into different odd and even decks differently now, right? Because Ticking and I think it was Pylon, the one that gives the buff across the board. I think that was 9 and now it's 10, which... maybe now we can play an even paladin. So it's still a really good card. Like you were saying, Hydra, it's still a really good module to add to Ziliax itself. And Ticking and Pylon now makes it, I believe it's 8 mana, actually, which, you know, still even where it was odd. So that's more how it's impactful than anything else, in my personal opinion. I think it's still, like you were saying, a strong module, still a strong thing to be doing, especially when you can like make Stormwind Champion a 0 mana 3/5 instead of a 7 mana 7/7. Like, that's just good.
Yeah. All right, so that is the rest of the nerfs, but we have some buffs. So, Sheep, you are a druid enjoyer, so why don't you tell us what's going on with Sky Mother Aviana?
Yeah, so Sky Mana Aviana was 6 mana, now she's 5 mana. Same cost, or same, not cost, that's what changed. Same stat line of a 5/5, and the same effect. Battlecry, shuffle 10 random legendary minions into your deck. They cost 1. So Sky Mother Aviana was used in a couple of kind of meme-y druid decks, but, you know, nothing that was seeing any sort of success. And she will still be used in the same kind of fun meme-y druid decks that won't see success, but now she can come down earlier. She's like less of a tempo loss. I mean, this just isn't really a great card. Like, you, oh no, I shuffle in the, what's her name? The 7 mana 7/7, that we've had for the longest time, but Standard just got back, Lissandra. All the buffs that you played on your minions, play them again on her, return them to your hand, one or the other. If your deck's not built around that, she's just stats. ETC is just stats. So, like, there are some real, real low rolls from those. At least they only cost 1. So, you know, it's the fun choice. It's not the competitive choice. That said, now that fun choice comes down earlier, it's less of a tempo loss, lets you start shuffling those fun cards into your deck, those potentially fun cards. Honestly, for our format, I think it's actually better than Standard right now because we have less conditional legendaries than they do. So it lets you get in down early, lets you start drawing those legendary minions earlier. You know, it's a good buff. I don't think we're going to see Sky Mother Aviana any more than we already were, but
no.
Yeah.
For anybody who really, I was just thinking about like back in the day when you ran, was it Prince Melchizar at the beginning? And it would just shuffle the legendaries into your deck. This is that, except it's 10 of them. You have to draw this, but they cost 1. It's just another version of something like that. It's a fun thing to do. It makes your deck worse because you're not drawing what you want, right? You could possibly just draw some garbage, but it's fun. This is something that when my son was still playing the game, if he had this card, he would have slotted in right away. And he would laugh at me when he's killing me with like 1 mana death wings and like weird stuff like that, right? Like, he would just have an absolute blast with it. And I'd be frustrated because I was playing a real deck. It's happened before where he was just playing some absolute garbage. And because he thought it was fun and he won. So
it can happen.
You know, it can happen. Like, you know, like 1 in 20, but it can happen. All right. So we have another buff here. And so this is Mage. So Frost Lich Cross Stitch. My wife loves the name of this card, by the way, because she likes cross stitching. So it used to be 5 mana deal 4 damage to a character. If it dies, summon a 3/6 water elemental. So now it is 4 mana and it deals 3 damage instead. So it brings down just that amount of burst because it does say to a character. It doesn't say to a minion. So this goes face, right? So it's cheaper. It does less damage. It's still annoying because it summons a water elemental. I think it's a fine change. Just knocks that possible burst down a little bit, and I think it's still a fine card. How about you?
I think we're on the same wavelength there of it not being a great card either way. It costs
it almost
the same.
Sounds like a nerf or a buff, which is a little confusing to me.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Agreed. So it costs the same amount as a water elemental. It deals 3 damage, which is the same attack as a water elemental, but it has to kill what it hits in order to summon a water elemental. Why would I not just run a water elemental in my deck at that point? And I'm not going to do that either. So, you know, I don't think it's a great card after the buff, but it's maybe more playable. 4 mana for 3 damage is just, that's rough. 3 is a good break point, but
and
still,
it's a buff.
Technically. Yeah. I'm not a believer in this really having any sort of impact. But it's a little cheaper, so that's nice, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But that's what they do when they nerf things. Like, I think we have a card back, like, if I scroll back up in the show notes, that was nerfed and then they made it cheaper. Like, that's what because they destroy the card. Let's take a mana off of it.
Yeah, Shroomskivate, they did shave a mana off of it, but they eviscerated that card. Like, the Wind Fury gone is huge. Like,
yeah. So that's why it's confusing, because I don't know. Anyway. That's about it. I did want to point out one thing before we move on to what was next in the news. You did not see a Reno nerf.
Honestly, I'm a bit surprised by that. And that's a good call. And yeah, Shmoopy Daddy would have been like, why did you not mention that? Because that's been his pet project is a Reno nerf in particular. And I think it's just because right now we're not seeing a ton of Reno in Standard. There is like a Reno Shaman that's not particularly great. It's not like terrible, but it's not like a super competitive deck. And then there's a Tendril Warrior, which relies on Highlander synergies in order to get tons of Tendril effects. So it runs Bran so that it can, you know, have the doubled up Tendril effects. And then every time you play a Tendril, it doesn't do 1 twice. It deals 1. And then it also casts a 2 and then a 3 and then a 4. So on until 10. And then at 10, there are only in Standard 2 different card choices for it to choose from. So it either does Table Flip and deals 3 damage to everything, or it deals the Mage one, which deals 10 damage randomly assigned and summons a 10 drop. So Warrior just wants to basically like cast Pyroblasts like a ton. All to say, we've got those 2 that really run Reno and Odin in Standard. So I think it's just the fact that we're not seeing a ton of Highlander in Standard right now, which is why we didn't get a Reno nerf, which in Wild, we could very, very much benefit from that nerf.
Yes.
I guess Odin Warrior also ran Reno whenever that was a thing, but that got nerfed, you know, with actual Odin nerf. So, you know, I think that's why we didn't see a Reno nerf, but I think it's going to happen before too long.
Yeah, maybe they'll remember when they nerfed Patches and Raza before they rotated. Maybe it'll be something like that.
Yahar.
Yeah, Yahar. I know, right? All right, so we talked about some bots earlier, and so we got a tweet from Celeste Alon saying, earlier this week on Tuesday, we launched the largest, at the time, ban wave in Hearthstone history. Then again on Wednesday, we launched the largest at the time, Bandwave in history again. Then again today, we launched the largest Bandwave in Hearthstone history. In total, over 500,000 bots died this week. It's an ongoing fight, but we're going to keep on beating them back. Wow. That's a lot. Like, it really is. And then, so the official blog post on the website said that this month has been a busy month for our battle against the bots. Since our last update just 3 weeks ago, we've reached our bot detection and banned over 585,000 more bots, including over 500,000 more bots throughout this week. We hope that we're reshaking up there in their circuits.
Instead of, we hope they're shaking in their boots. We hope they're shaking in their circuits.
Yeah, shaking in their circuits. The text is so small and I need glasses. I can't read it. Cheaters are not welcome in our tavern. You can continue to help in the ongoing battle against these botters by using the in-game reporting feature. While you do, we'll continue to be fighting on your behalf too. So yeah, if you are not a bot enjoyer, you can use that report feature. They are, honestly, they are everywhere. When I guess a week and a half ago or so, it was right after the expansion launched. Mm-hmm. I was playing Wild and there was the the mech rogue that was being played, right? They get all stealthy and put the micro bots on. And anyways, I was playing against that deck. I took a screenshot where I had versed eight. I think it was eight in a row of that exact deck. And they it was eight in a row. And I was trying to play Uther Paladin. And I kept losing and losing and losing and losing to this exact same thing over and over again because they would make these big stealth bots and there was nothing I could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was extremely frustrating. But there were so many and they were behaving exactly like bots as well. And a lot of them, you could just tell by non-golden hero, basic card back, like sort of thing. And playing this exact same deck over and over again. And I was not in a good mood. But yeah. Have you been seeing a lot of bots lately? Have you noticed this was only just the other day, right? So
yeah, this was just yesterday. I haven't noticed a ton of bots, kind of in the past weekish. But again, I've mostly been playing standard and relatively highish, like legend area. So the bots don't typically get up to there in standard. In Wild, whenever I've been playing, I haven't noticed, at the very least, I think I've maybe played against like one or two, you know, like every now and then it would happen, but it was nothing like you said six in a row. It was definitely eight in a row. It was definitely nothing like that. So,
and this isn't like I was down in bronze or something. This was around diamond two.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a lot. And it was frustrating because then I was losing because my deck wasn't equipped to beat them. And I'm like, I'm losing to the computer. No, I used to farm them when they were odd warriors.
Yeah, when they were odd warriors, or honestly, whenever they were even shamans, your deck probably would have done fairly good against them because you can actually like target them. They weren't stealthed.
Yeah. So good riddance. I'm sure they'll be back. I think this is just going to be until they figure out something where they can detect whatever software is being used and just, you know, sort of have some sort of firewall against them even logging in the first place, then this is just going to keep happening.
Yeah.
or people start giving up because their accounts are getting banned like every few days. Maybe it'll get annoying enough.
Over 585 bots this week.
585,000.
Sorry, bots. Thousand.
Yeah.
Only 585 is not an impressive number. 585,000, almost like well over 500,000, almost 250,000. That's a ton. That's a ton of bans. So,
yeah. Well, obviously, they're getting better at it if they can detect them this quickly.
Completely agreed.
It's a giant quantity.
And maybe if they're, you know, those bots just, oh, well, I can't actually, you know, sell this account because it's getting banned. Maybe the frequency and the breadth of these bans will start bearing fruit. I definitely hope to see that as well.
Yeah. All right. So the last thing we have for the news was this post from Ridiculous Hat. Would you mind speaking on this post?
Absolutely. So Hat said, for those of you who were granted a signature Lina from the Mega Bundle, we have an update. You will receive another random signature legendary as compensation. This should be rolling out starting today. Not sure on the time. Thanks for your patience. So basically what was happening is Lina, was the Tavern Pass card. So you would get even from the free like side of the Tavern Pass, you would get Lina for free. And so people who got the Mega Bundle and got the signature, but they were getting the signature card before they had a chance to collect Lina from the Tavern Pass, the season, whatever, Tavern Pass area. Well, what if you don't have all of the not just signatures, all the legendary cards, right? The duplicate protection, if you had Lina, would have prevented you from getting a signature Lina until you have all of the legendary cards. But if you were getting the signature first before you even had the chance, because it was from the Mega Bundle, to even get in there and open her up from the Tavern Pass, you could not have all of the legendaries, even though you have the signature Lina. That's kind of the reason why that they seemed to feel like this compensation was warranted. And I mean, this is just a player friendly thing that they're doing to make up for, honestly, something that I don't think is a huge deal, but I think it's a really good thing that they're doing to try and make that experience more, you know, positive. And mm-hmm. I pre-ordered, so I want to get as many legendaries as I can. This furthers that and kind of proves that pre-order value is actually there. What do you think, Hydra? Yeah.
You know what? They started doing the no duplicates on legendaries a long time ago, and that was one of the biggest quality of life changes at the time that I've seen in the game, because getting the same legendary that you don't even like over and over and over again was just horrible. Like the fact that sometimes you would just keep rolling the same one when there were so many different legendaries was frustrating. And then they put duplicate protection on everything. So this is just a cool thing that they can do. Just they're keeping us as customers happy, right? So they're looking at how does the customer feel, if it feels bad and it's easy for them to change. Why not? I mean, I want to maximize, just like you, I pre-ordered, I'd want to maximize what I get. I didn't have the best pack opening that I've had in the past. It actually turned around after when I was, because I streamed my pack opening and I was missing so many legendaries. I'm like, oh no. But then I ended up doing a lot better later on, which was cool. And I hadn't actually spent my gold yet. When I streamed the pack opening, I just did my bundles. And then I used my gold, and then suddenly I was getting legendary after legendary. I'm like, oh, why did I stream this part?
You streamed it right before it started making it rain.
Yeah, yeah, it got real good after, but yeah, thanks Blizzard. I'll take it. I will, because I want to get that full collection. I'm currently sitting at missing 3, and I'm almost at level 50 on the rewards track, and so that's going to be get me down to 2, and I'll probably just craft the last 2. Because I'm already saving for the next expansion.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like right off the bat, I'm like, okay, I'm not buying anymore. I'm already saving. I will just spend the dust. I have the dust. So it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Hence the, you know, when we started doing the never dust thing, like that was the best decision. I haven't even checked since the nerfs, how I benefit from this last round. Because if you never dust, you just get so much more than just dusting right off the bat.
I got 10,800 something from the nerfs. Like,
see,
it was wild.
See, and I used to, because I always wanted the full collection day one. So as soon as I was done opening all my packs and hit the reward track goals to get my legendaries, I would just disenchant everything. I'd just mass hit the button and craft what I was missing. And there, I'm happy. Full collection. Right? But in the end, I may feel happy about that decision, but I'm actually losing money. Actively losing money by doing that. So you just got to hold on. You got to wait. You got to wait for at least that first round. Now I just don't disenchant unless it's nerfed. They just sit there forever. So there's cards that will probably never be nerfed that I have a million copies of. I'm sure you do too.
I do. Whenever rotation happens, I disenchant my extra copies. I keep enough to have, you know, playable, but I disenchant my extra copies because we don't see as many nerfs in our format. And so that's kind of like in the min-max scale, like that's kind of minimum. You know, I feel like at that point I can cash out on those extras, use that dust. And then if it, you know, does happen to get nerfed in our format later, like, you know, it feels a little bad, but holding on to all of the extras for all of the cards at that point is just kind of like a little too excessive for my my taste, because I like to craft the golden cards.
This is true. And you know what? I don't think I just have had the patience to go through them all, because it's probably been a couple years since I've been a mass duster. I sometimes I will comb through and look for golden epics that I know are garbage that I want to get rid of so that I could craft something I really, really need. Because they're worth a lot of dust, right?
Yeah. My mouse has the option to have an auto clicker. And so that expedited it significantly. Okay. Search extra. Okay. Disenchant. Start with the regular. Just let it auto click while I pay attention to something else. Oh, it's done. Click, click, click. Have playable amounts. If I was doing it manually for everyone, I don't know that I would have the patience for it either, but yeah, that auto clicker.
What if it auto clicked past your play? Oh, because it warns you. Yeah. It warns you when you get down to the playable amount. Yeah.
It warns you. And that's also why I start with the regulars, because typically the golden doesn't have like an excessive amount. So I will typically just like push the button manually for however many that is, because it's like 4 or 5 versus like 9+ for the regular copies.
The funny thing is I know that it's coded into work, like that warning, but I never trust it. I'll be just like click, 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 click. And then I'll like exit from that card just to see how many there actually is in my collection, and then go back to click, 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 click. Cause I like don't trust it. I rather do the math myself. And I know that the system isn't broken, but it's this peace of mind. Anyway, we should move on to talk about some stuff that's going on in the meta. So in our special topic, we were going to discuss this little handy chart that was provided by Corbett's Discord, where there was a lot of data collected on what is being played in the wild meta and what the win rates are.
Absolutely.
So we've got like a dozen decks here or more. But what I really enjoy is what's at the top. It kind of is what I'm playing. So I guess I've chosen correctly.
Yeah, you have. So the what they're calling like their either tier one or S tier, it's made of three decks, and that is Divine Dragon Priest, Shadow Dragon Priest, and Even Shaman, all of which have a 54 or above percent win rate. Divine Dragon Priest on this particular one has a win rate of 55.04. So that's the kind of standout, with Shadow Dragon Priest only being 0.1% lower at 54.94% win rate. So those are like the best decks, according to Corvette's Discord, at least. I'm not sure where they are collecting their stats, but this does track with my lived experience too. So I think it's fairly accurate, however much I don't know where they're getting their numbers from.
Yeah. So I think it's got to be accurate, because I was playing today and I didn't play any Hearthstone yesterday, which actually, when the clock ticked Midnight Sheep, I realized I didn't play and I didn't get to put any experience towards the special
quest rewards
track.
Yeah.
When it ticked, I started at exactly 12 o'clock. Right at midnight, then it had ticked over, and I was like, "No!" Because you need a lot of XP on this one, and so that sort of bummed me out. Anyway, it's going, you know, down all the rabbit holes. But I was playing the aggressive priest. So I'm playing the one with the pirate package in it, because pirates, some of them, the dragons are pirates, right? And you can play real quick, but it's also still kind of mid-rangey anyway. It's got the 3-mana 3/3 dragon that deals 3 damage if you've got a pirate in your hand. It still runs Duskbreaker. It's got the inner fire package in there. And so, yeah, it's like a combo. There's no raised deads in it that I've seen in other people's, but it's very minion based. It's got the little shadow? one that... No.
Okay, so this is just the Divine Dragon Priest, because the Shadow Dragon Priest is Shadow.
Yeah. No, it's just a divine, but cool. with pirates. Some have pirates, yeah. Some don't have pirates, right? So it's divine with pirates.
I see what you're saying now.
Divine Pirate Dragon Priest.
Yahar.
Because I've seen some that just run they've taken out pirates and they've got raised deads and then couple other things in there, whatever. But anyway, having a lot of fun with that. And yeah. I like today. I mean, usually I was kind of doing it on turn 6 or so, but I did a real early one on turn 5, which was pretty cool. The turn 5 lethal with it's pretty nice. I'm sure maybe you can do it sooner, but it all depends if you have Divine Spirit, Inner Fire, enough mana to do that. If you've buffed your Time Warp guy, what's he called?
Zarimi.
Zarimi. I love that card. If you get Zarimi, you don't really want it in your opening hand, but if you get it in your opening hand and it starts getting buffed right off the bat, then it's pretty crazy. But what I noticed was, people know that this is a thing and they're just running all sorts of taunts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just can't get past the taunts at that point. Even with the time warp, if you don't have a big enough board, you can't get through it.
If you're running into a lot of taunts, I wonder if it would be worthwhile to tech in a mass dispel? Probably yeah, not, possibly. But maybe.
I don't know. It's already a super fast deck, and I'm just super enjoying it. But yes, recently today, a lot of taunts. I mean, it didn't affect my record too bad, because like I said, I ended up ending the day at the 17-4. So
yeah, you did.
I made it work. Anyway, what are your thoughts on the top three here?
Yeah, for my personal play style, I like the Shadow Dragon Priest even more. It's the same general idea, but it's even lower to the ground than the Divine Spirit Inner Fire package, and doesn't run those cards because, you know, they're not shadow cards. It does, of course, run Raise Dead because, you know, shadow, as well as things like the Mind, whatever, the 2/1 mana, deal 2 damage to a minion. If it kills it, deal 3 damage to the enemy hero. And Mind Blast and different ways to kind of like tutor.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then like a Cleric of the whatever. 1/1/1. If you're holding a pirate, discover a spell from your deck.
Yeah, that card's awesome.
That card's real good. You get like Mind Blasts like super early, or Raise Deads when you need them. So it's a really consistent deck. It's really low to the ground. And then of course, Zaremi just, you know, is basically like Mind Render Lucia, but better, because it's not just that your opponent, doesn't have their hand for that turn. It's that your opponent doesn't get a turn. That's even better. And we were running Mind Render Lucia in our aggro decks. Zaremi is exactly the same idea. Just if you happen to not kill them, then you all of a sudden have a mana advantage as well. So it's just an all around great deck. The top three are rounded off by Even Shaman, and like deck's still good. I haven't really played it in a little while, but I think I played a couple decks of it. Whenever I was looking for decks for Stormrage, who's playing some Wild again. But just a few games to see kind of what was working and what wasn't, especially after the Wrath of Air Totem got included back again. So Even Shaman's still good. Not surprising. That rounds out the top three. So the tier two decks are Pirate Rogue, Big Shaman, Reno Mage, and then just straight up Aggro Priest, not the dragon variant. What are your thoughts on this kind of tier two tier? Pirate Rogue aside, because I think we can both say that Pirate Rogue is just like good, right? Like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
No, yeah, exactly. We can move on from that. But Big Shaman, yeah. I haven't had too much of an issue with Big Shaman recently, but I do see them. I've seen them quite a bit. And what I've been playing has been beating them. So that's okay for me. But Reno Mage is there. Reno Mage drives me crazy. So if oh my gosh. I was playing against one and they discovered a Potion of Polymorph and got my Zaremi, and I was so choked. Yeah. And I had a feeling, because they were emoting and they knew that they knew what was in my hand. They knew what my game plan was, and they're emoting. And I was like, do I just concede? I should just concede, because I know that they have to have it. They have to have it. And then, yeah. Played by Zaremi and Potion of Polymorph. I had to call the bluff.
Yeah.
Just in case. But yeah, made me super sad. And then Aggro Priest is just a solid deck. I haven't seen it personally since the expansion launch, if I recall correctly, because people have been trying out the other priests. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like I said, this data looks accurate. It's a good deck, so I'm not surprised it's still up there.
Yeah, agreed on all counts. I haven't played Big Shaman myself, either as or against kind of sense, so I don't have a good feel for its particular win rate. It looks like a really fun deck. Looks like a really good deck. Being in the top half of tier two, I mean, it makes sense. Again, I haven't played as or against it, but seeing what the build looks like, it makes sense that it would be really strong, but not like that meta tyrant type deck. So that tracks as well.
And who is in the, like, this is a very, this is a controlled group that got these stats, right? These are people specifically in Corbett's Discord. So if there's somebody in there that is really, really good at Big Shaman, then maybe that's what's putting this up there. I don't know. You know what I mean, right?
Could be, yeah. Or even just like trying it out. You know, maybe it's not necessarily that I don't know their prowess with the deck, obviously. But maybe that's why, like, I haven't seen it, but they've tried it out. They did really well with it. Case in point, 51.14%. Towards the top half, over the top half of tier two. But while I haven't seen it, that doesn't mean that it's not a good deck. That's just a self-selection bias, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, the next tier three, we've got Fruit Druid with this is where we get sub 50% win rate, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got Fruit Druid at 49.84, Mine Rogue 48.74, Horseman Pally 48.54, Reno Shaman tied at 48.54, then Mechathune Warrior 47.44, cool, and Reno Priest 47.04. So, like, obviously this is a tight race. There's only a 2%, almost 3% spread between all of these. But how do you feel about this section here?
Yeah, I know that Fruit Druid is so that's Floop's Glorious Gloop, and yeah, all the things until you get to Forbidden Fruit with all of the mana, deal all of the damage. I know before the new expansion, but after the change to the mana rule, that was kind of the new hotness. Seeing it having a sub 50% win rate makes me kind of happy about that. Right? Yeah. So I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see that it's still represented, so that maybe something will happen with one of those cards, so that it doesn't just like keep on cropping up. But I'm also glad to see that it's not like really, really good.
Yeah.
Mind Rogue being taken down a peg honestly makes a lot of sense with both how the format has sped up quite a bit, but also we've got Renathal unnerfed in our format now, so all of this makes a lot of sense for Mind Rogue as well. Mechathune Warrior, I'm confused about how it made the list. Like I know the combo for it, right? So you've got the boom ship to pull it out of your hand, and then you've got your double shield shatter to just deal with it. You know, you have an empty deck, you have an empty board, you have an empty hand, you win. That's how Mechathune works. I've not seen this. I've seen like a like highlight of it. Oh yeah, and then there's also the new card too. Instead of boom ship, it's the what, 4 mana, 5 mana card that pulls it out and then deals 4 damage to it. So there's a cheaper way to do it, but you still have to get through all of your deck. You still have to have 0 cards in hand. And then, of course, deck as well, or your side, at least, of the battlefield as well. But that's less hard to do with things like shield shatter. So you only need one shield shatter. Thank you, Nylon Intruder in the chat, for the clarification there, because that does both cut down on the number of combo pieces you need to have. You know, you don't have to have two shield shatters on top of a tutor, and it's somewhat cheaper, but you still have to get through your deck. I guess you could run Hemet. You still have to have nothing else on board, etc. I still don't know how it's represented here. Yeah, that Nylon Intruder still thinks that the deck isn't good as well. I agree. So I'm not sure how it got represented here. Maybe it's someone's pet deck, in which case I'm sorry that I don't think your deck is very good. I hope that you continue to innovate on it. But if this is supposed to be like the competitive decks that you're seeing, and where it's going, then that's a bit of a head scratcher. Also a bit of a head scratcher is that Reno Priest is as low as it is. You know, we got the new Raza, which basically replaces Anduin, Shadow Reaper Anduin. We've got our old Raza. We've got a whole lot of survival tools. You know, are we running Reno the hero card as well? Probably. We're going Highlander to play our other Raza anyway. Maybe that Reno Priest is kind of kept down because of the Dragon Priests themselves, because mm-hmm. that's not just an aggro deck. Those have the Timewinder Zaremi aspect as well, to where it doesn't matter if you're clearing my board every turn. I'm taking an extra turn. I'm either loading up this turn with cheap dragons and taking an extra turn, or I'm Divine Spirit interfiring with my extra turn. So that makes a lot more sense now that I reconsider that mixed with the top of the meta. What do you think about that kind of tier three as well, Hydra?
My favorite part about this tier three is it's all the decks that I don't like. I really hate playing against almost all of these. The Druid, the Mine Rogue, somewhat Horseman Paladin me, like, so fast the other day. It was amazing. And while I died and was sad about it, I was actually like, you know,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, Horseman Paladin's one I don't mind losing to.
Yeah, like you did the thing, good job. Like they got it where the hero power was acting twice, because that minion was on the board, two of them was on the board, and they just buttoned and killed me, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic, and there's nothing I could say. I was, congratulations, you beat me. Actually, I think if I looked at my stats, that's one of my losses in that 17-4 was against that.
Nice.
And yeah, so Reno Shaman is like the bane of my existence. I hate being, you know, frozen and like all this, like, just no thanks. And Mechathune Warrior, that's the only one there that I think is kind of cool, even though it's not good. I've always liked the Mechathune combo personally. Mm-hmm. But to see it there, you said that you saw it in a highlight reel. You think that's kind of, I couldn't remember if I played against it or I saw the same highlight reel that you did. We probably just saw the same video. But yeah, and then Reno Priest, we had high hopes, I think, when we were reviewing some cards for Reno Priest, and maybe it's just not the meta for Reno Priest right now. It doesn't mean it's going to always be bad. I think that there's a whole lot of potential there with the new cards, not having to play Anduin later in the game. So I think this is the section that I think this is perfect. The way it is, tier three, yes.
Absolutely. And Horseman Paladin going from not even on the map to like close to a 50% win rate, and Mechathune Warrior not even on the map to a little closer to 50% win rate, but still pretty close. You know, those are cool, fun decks that, like, I'm glad are seeing some, like, competitive success, even if they're not the top of the meta. So, yeah, good on you, Tier 3. Love to see it. Tier 4, I don't know. So Tier 4 is equipped of two decks. One of them I'm very familiar with, and that's Fatigue Warlock. That's at the very bottom. And one of them is Horror Priest. And
so I'm guessing it's Grave Horrors?
I'm guessing, but that one I'm not terribly sure what that deck itself is.
Shmoopy Daddy was talking about it a couple weeks ago, but... it ran a lot of spells. It ran Grave Horrors. You weren't on the episode, but he showed me the list and he basically quizzed me on it. Do you remember that? And he said, yeah. What do you think this does? And he's like, class is in. I'm pretty sure that's the one.
Yeah, the Radiant Elemental, then the, what's it called?
Yeah,
the
Miracle one that Version.
Every one that you play discounts a card in your hand and then you play Grave Horrors super quick.
There's Lyra on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Anyway, I played it after the episode. I played it a little bit. It wasn't exactly my jam. Won mm-hmm. some games, lost some games, whatever. I can see why it's at the bottom, but apparently it's still relevant to make the list.
Yeah. And that deck has a pretty niche play pattern where I feel like people who are good at the deck and have a lot of reps with it can make it happen pretty consistently. That's not me. I understand the basics of how it works, but like when it comes to actually executing it myself, I can do it sometimes, but not a lot. And that's even whenever it was a more favorable meta for it. So, yeah, same. Fatigue Warlock, I'm not surprised to see this low with this particular meta because it is so aggro heavy. It is a lot like, oh, you're just helping me get your hero's health to zero. Thanks.
Yeah.
I played, I think, a game or two of it over the past couple days. And, you know, I won some games. I lost some games. The games that I won felt like I could have lost at any time. The games that I lost, I was losing the entire game. So it makes sense to see that at the bottom of this particular list, unfortunately. Maybe we'll see it come back up as the meta changes.
So I believe that was the... I think we might have one more thing. Yeah, we do have one more thing. So... gonna bring up just an item that was in the store.
Oh yeah,
that was spotted. So this is for $50 American. You can get a signature Odin and 5 packs.
Yeah,
$50 American for six. Well, sorry. Yeah, you get 5 packs, so 25 cards. And your signature Odin. And if you're buying this, you probably already have all the cards, so you're just going to get a bunch of dust out of the packs, I would suppose. This is expensive.
And this is something that they started doing last expansion before last, where it's like, oh, you want this particular signature? Here it is for $50. And then I'm not sure why they added on the 5 regular packs, because these are not golden
because
packs.
They knew it felt bad. They're just like, here's some packs.
You know, I'm a whale in this game. I've never bought one of these. I don't plan on buying one of these. It's bad value. And this bundle, quote unquote bundle, they threw in the 5 packs so they could call it a bundle. This quote unquote bundle was in the shop, I think, like about a week before the Odin nerf was announced or implemented into the game. But seeing the nerfed card there, you know, this is the nerfed version that we have the picture of. It's the 9 mana. 88. It doesn't look great, does it?
No. No, it really doesn't. I don't know. It's just, and then this is USD. Not everywhere in the world has the same, prices. I looked in my store. I couldn't see this bundle probably because I haven't purchased any of the other ones, and this is sort of hiding behind that. But
have to scroll.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of pages. I just wanted to see the price, but I know for almost a fact that for me this is $69.99.
Wow.
Instead of $49.99. So yeah, not gonna happen when I could purchase like an actual expansion, like pre-purchase bundle for that price instead of five packs and a card that's got cool art. Don't get me wrong. Like I really like that, but this is, it's just so much.
Yeah, I found it in my store. It's at the very, very bottom. I will out in this game. I already have a signature Odin. I'm not disenchanting my signature Odin because $50 for 3,200 dust plus whatever you're getting from the five packs is just not a good value.
Yeah, no, not at all. Anyway, that's sort of, just sad to see. I guess there are people that are going to buy it. There's people that want it. They really want that card. I just feel like they probably could have cut this down by at least like $10, $15.
Well, and this is what all of those, like you get this one signature card in five packs are. They're all 50 USD or 70,000 Canadian. but I think that those bundles are too expensive anyway. I have yet to hear of anyone actually buying any of those bundles. So I'm really surprised to see that they keep on rolling more of those out. And I wouldn't be surprised if they stop rolling them out in the near future, just because like no one's buying them.
Yeah. Someone in chat saying that, yeah, they'd buy if it had 40 packs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would definitely be different. That we'd be speaking completely different for sure. Because like five packs. So let's see, two packs is $3. Seven packs is $10. We don't really have a, option for five packs, right? But it's between three and $10. 40 packs is $50. So this would basically be you're getting a free Odin signature rather than a free five packs. So completely agreed. If they did that with like 40 packs, I think that would be worthy of calling it a bundle. I think people would probably actually purchase it if they, oh yeah, I really wanted a signature Odin, or signature Sif was a big one a little while ago that when they first started rolling out these bundles, that was one of the featured ones, right? I really wanted signature Sif. Oh, look, here's 40 packs for the same price that 40 packs normally are. And I get the card I really wanted. That would just be like an all around feels good. Whereas this is just like $50 for this. And I mean, I guess five packs.
That's just, well, so we do know the price. We do know the price of five packs. It's $50.
With the complimentary signature card with it.
Right. That's so funny. Well, sheep.
Unrelated advice with Electric Sheep City.
So I'm I've had this Air Miles card for a really long time, and I don't really look at how much I've been collecting on it, right? And so I look, and I have an extremely large amount, and my wife tells me that she's always wanted to go to Denver, Colorado, right? That's just where she wants to go. And so I told her, that's perfect. I know a guy, right? So I told her, and I'm sorry, but I told her that we have a tour guide. And so what I need to do is I need this tour guide to tell me where the cool things that we're going to be going to, because I don't know this area at all. So, hey, tour guide, where are we going?
So first off, you definitely need to hit up Dragon Roast Coffee. Our friend Saucy Mailman has this coffee roasting business, and I've heard it's pretty kicking rad. So you definitely need to hit up some Dragon Roast Coffee. On your way out of the airport, there is this demonic blue horse statue. At night, its eyes glow red. Denver locals call this horse Blucifer because it's blue. It's a blue.
Oh my gosh.
So these are two definite high points that you can't miss. One of them because they're, close friend. The other because you're going to see it as you're leaving the airport anyway. Honestly, I'm going to have to ask around, because pretty much right after moving here, we had the lamb. So I haven't really done a lot of exploration around the Denver area yet. If y'all are basketball fans, the Denver Nuggets are fantastic. Could definitely recommend going to a Nuggets game. It's still basketball season. But other than that, I'll have to ask around.
They should have a Blucifer t-shirt where he's eating a bunch of nuggets, because that would be awesome.
And delicious.
Wiser words have never been spoken, and you heard that on
Bored to Be Wilder.